And so we heard, Jesus went down with them and was obedient to them. I want to discuss an important family virtue which you may not even recognize as a virtue. And it's not obedience, because obedience alone is not enough. For example, obedience can be grudging obedience or loving obedience. Grudging obedience is kind of what we give to an oppressive authority, born out of fear. Hopefully that's not the kind of obedience we give to our parents. Loving obedience is what we give to others because it's the companion of an important family virtue. That important family virtue is deference. From the word we get defer. Deference is respectfulness, a sincere, humble regard for others. Deference goes beyond obligations and obedience to giving honor and respect. And persistent honor and respect in a home can transform a home. What would happen in our families if deference was a dominant virtue in the way we interacted with each other? The idea of deference is captured in all of our readings, but in most of the examples, they're demonstrations of deference towards somebody of greater authority, deference to God. What about those who have similar authority, such as our spouse, our neighbor, coworker, or classmate? What about those who have lesser authority, such as our children, those who work for us, or maybe those who serve us in the stores and the restaurants? The key is recognizing that authority does not equal dignity. Authority is not the same as dignity. God has a higher dignity than we do. And therefore, we must always give honor and glory to God because we are not in equal dignity to Him. However, our spouse, children, parents, neighbors, coworkers, classmates, those who work for us, they have equal dignity to ours because, like us, they are also made in the image and likeness of God. Hence, they deserve deference. They deserve respect, a sincere, humble regard. And so what would happen in our families if we treated everyone as having a dignity equal to our own? And that brings us back to the words from the gospel. Jesus went down with Joseph and Mary and was obedient to them. In many regards, the essence of deference and its power in family life is captured in those first words, that Jesus went down with them. Joseph and Mary showed Jesus the self-emptying way of deference, a sincere, humble regard for each other. And then Jesus followed their example. Deference is more than just good manners. It's reflected in a challenging verse from St. Paul. In his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, he says, "Humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others." As challenging as that verse is, I don't know if I would say that deference is something that's hard as much as it's a change in the way we look at, we review others and ourselves. In learning deference, we're going to discover that it is liberating and that it brings an unexpected peace. Peace does not come from being on top of the world. In fact, most people on the top live in anxiety of somebody knocking them off of their perch. Consider politics, business, sports, entertainment. Peace comes through respect for others out of reverence for Christ. Peace comes from looking out for the interests of others, not just our own. Because when we do that, we are now on the same team. We're not adversaries. But here's the thing. Both paths, whether selfishness or deference, involve struggles. But only deference brings peace. What would happen in our families if deference was a dominant virtue in the way we interacted with each other? But here's the kicker. Deference isn't just something that some of us should consider. This is what every follower of Jesus Christ should do. the self-sacrificing love. As Jesus said after washing his disciples' feet, he said, "If I, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." And then he continues, he says, "I have given you a model to follow. If you understand this, blessed are you if you do it." Now that said, I'm not sure I'm particularly good at it yet. You know, I was recently embarrassed at a wake service that I was leading, even though the husband of the grieving husband didn't realize it. You know, he and his wife used to sit along in the back of the church on the back wall because of her health conditions. And although I was always polite to them before Mass, I never took the time to engage them, to talk to her, to learn their names. I didn't show them the deference that I should have. And even though he didn't notice, I apologized and thanked him for the lesson. But would it have been difficult to show them deference? Or just a change in the way I approach things? Similarly, we have a family member living with us who has advancing dementia. To be clear, the authority and decision-making in the family, they're given to me. Leading the household is my responsibility. Yet I'm still called to show deference, being called to love in those difficult circumstances, being challenged to humbly regard them as more important than myself. Is that difficult? At times, yes. It's certainly harder within an ongoing family situation than a simple encounter before Mass. But why would it be difficult to treat a family member with deference? Honestly, what am I trying to protect? What am I trying to defend with regard maybe to my ego or my authority or my sense of superiority? St. Francis had the following to say about material possessions, but I think it's equally true about our spiritual and our emotional attachments. He said, "If we had any possessions, we should need weapons and laws to defend them." Physically, peace comes from having less and grasping for less, not more. So also spiritually, peace comes from a holy simplicity and a sincere regard for others. That sincere, humble regard for others. And yet how often do we selfishly hang on to and grasp at and fight for those things that create discord in our homes and in our hearts? As we read in the gospel, because Jesus went down with them, because Jesus learned the way of deference from Joseph and Mary, he advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. And then deference manifested itself in the way Jesus treated and welcomed everyone in his public ministry, saint and sinner, friend and foe, family and stranger. The same result will be manifested in our lives. Through the virtue of deference, we will advance in wisdom and favor before God and man. And it will enrich our families, our workplaces, our schools, our parish, and our community. What would happen in a family if we learned this hidden gem of deference? Perhaps we would better imitate the Holy Family. Remember, both paths, selfishness and deference, involve struggles, but only deference brings peace and liberation. I pray that you will make a renewed commitment to make that peace an important aspect of yours and your family's lives. It might be a challenge, but the fruits are worth the sacrifice.